omne datum optimum et omne donum perfectum de sursum est. Every optimal gift and every perfect gift is from above. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, since last Sunday, Holy Mother Church has been preparing us for the ascension of our Lord. Last Sunday we heard how our Lord told us that in a short while we would no longer see him because he would be with the Father. This Sunday's Gospel passage is about the coming of the Holy Spirit who would convict us of the truth. Like a kind father, our Lord breaks the silence at the Last Supper by speaking of the sorrow in the hearts of the disciples at his departure. He hastens to console them by explaining to them, "It is expedient to you that I go, for if I go not, the Paraclete will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." He further explains that the Paraclete will convict us of all truth and will confirm in us the doctrines that he has taught his disciples during his time on earth. The Apostle St. James explains to us in today's episode, every optimal gift and every perfect gift is from above. Our Lord, in leaving us, is preparing us to receive the Holy Spirit. In his time spent on the earth, he confided to his disciples the deposit of faith, the body of true Catholic doctrine that the magisterium has had the role of teaching us throughout history. More important still, he instituted the sacraments. And this is the point of today's episode and gospel. As a Catholic, it is not enough that we believe the word, but we must also be justified during our time on the earth. We are justified by doing good acts in accordance to God's will. In order to do these good acts that are worthy of our supernatural life in heaven, we receive the supernatural gift of God's grace. The word grace itself comes from the Latin word gratia and means a freely given thing. It is a gift from God that is established in souls as a stable, formal quality. By the gift of grace, we are allowed to participate in God's divine life of justice and truth. During his life on the earth, our Lord established the sacraments for us as the surest channels of grace. Sacraments are the visible means by which our Lord applies to us the merits of his incarnation, his passion, his death, and resurrection. In imitation of our Lord's incarnation, in which he united his divine and human natures in the one person, each sacrament consists of a material and a formal part together. In his own incarnation, our Lord raised the human nature that he created to a supernatural state. He made his flesh united to his divine nature, the instrument of our salvation, by his passion and death on the cross. He redeemed us by shedding his precious blood for us. Likewise, each sacrament has a material part. The pouring of water, the application of oil, salt, bread, wine, contrition for sins, or consent to marriage. And also a formal part, the word said by the minister of the sacrament, usually a priest or a bishop, that completes the signification of the matter. God raises these material things to a supernatural state and makes them powerful means of grace. As Catholics, we have in the sacraments a sure source of grace communicated to the depths of our souls. They are being visible signs. They are for us a bond of our union in the Catholic Church, along with our profession of faith and our submission to the office of St. Peter. Hierarchy, dogma, and sacraments. St. Thomas explains to us that the seven sacraments for the seven stages of the spiritual life are analogous to our natural lives. The sacrament of baptism is the birth that permits us to enter into the spiritual life. Confirmation is our coming to maturity. The Eucharist, our nourishment. Confession, our remedy for the sickness of sin. Extreme unction, our rehabilitation. Holy orders, the responsibility of authority. And marriage, the propagation of the community. So important are these gifts received from our Lord that almost all of the church's canon law has to do with safeguarding the sacraments. The sacraments are a continuation of the mystery of the Incarnation for us in using visible things to raise us to a knowledge of things invisible. Such a use of material things is an affront to the pride of Satan, who would not bow down and worship God. We are called to follow the example of Naaman, the Syrian king, and use these sanctified material means for our salvation. Being visible signs, the sacraments are also a bond of unity among Catholics. In every country, the seven sacraments instituted by our Lord will be found in His church, along with the hierarchy and the dogma. The sacraments contribute to make us one body. They are the same in the essentials, the visible signs and the graces that they produce. In these seven sacraments, we are well provided for in our spiritual life. We receive all of the varied riches of His grace for all of the stages of our spiritual life. Baptism and penance are the sacraments of the dead, in that they give us or restore us to spiritual life. The Holy Eucharist, confirmation, matrimony, holy orders, and extreme unction are sacraments of the living, in that they strengthen that spiritual life in us. Our Lord promised us these wonderful gifts from heaven only if we are born again in water and the Spirit. And for this reason, He instituted the sacrament of baptism as the entrance to this spiritual life, and gave us the duty of baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The sacrament of baptism washes away from our souls the stain of original sin and grants it new life. Moreover, every Catholic receives at his baptism the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and the infused moral virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, along with the sanctifying grace that makes us friends of God. Our Lord grants to us these gifts in His sacrament through the material means of water and nothing more, because water is more commonly found than anything else. Since the beginning of the existence of the Church, baptism was the first step for anyone who wanted to live a Christian life. For this reason, from all time, divine providence saw to it that water would be plentiful. Anyone, even a non-believer, who wishes to act with the intention of the Church can baptize by pouring water while invoking the name of the Holy Trinity. Divine providence has seen to it that those on the verge of death can receive the effects of baptism by faith and a pure desire to receive the sacrament in order to be a member of the Church. We read in the Acts of the Apostles that in the early Church, the Apostles did not hesitate to baptize babies before the age of reason when they baptized whole households. The Church supplies what is needed for such children to receive this great sacrament that opens the door of eternal life to them. Through His incarnation, our Lord has made it so that even the simplest of things through the action of the Church will be a channel of great graces. Let us turn often to our Lord and use the sacraments that he has given us to apply ourselves with zeal to our duties of state during our life here below. By cooperating with his graces and doing his holy will, we purify our souls, grow in virtue, and we are made holy like our God in heaven. By this, we will begin to recognize his action in all the circumstances of our lives and learn to be alert to the action of the Holy Spirit always. Let us not hesitate to turn to Our Lady, the Mother of the Church. She accompanied our Lord through his life on the earth and was united to him by grace. Being our mother, free of sin, she understands our hesitations and weaknesses and is willing, we only have to ask, to help direct us on the way towards the Lord. For the role she had in his mission on earth, our Lord has given her a new one for our salvation. All graces from our Lord are given to us through her. For this she is known as the mediatrix of all graces. O Mary, help of Christians, Mother of the Church, mediatrix of all graces, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.